Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. I'm here, Dave Dufour. Got Andrew Schlecht, my partner in crime on Thursday mornings. And Andrew, you know, listen, this has been a weird first half of the season. We're wrapping up. We got the All-Star game coming up. We got a marquee matchup last night. And man, have we really been missing these. Because, you know, it seems like every time we get a big game, one team or the other has someone out, whether it's health and safety, whether it's injuries, whether it's just rest. And we got another big game. You know, obviously the Utah Jazz have been the best team in basketball in the first half. They play the Philadelphia 76ers, who are the best team in the East right now, at least by record. And I mean, Joel Embiid, this is what MVPs do. This is what guys who are in that conversation are able to do. He had an absolutely monster game even before the last few minutes. And he really exposed an area of weakness for the Jazz, and it's dealing with, and you can bleep this, dealing with motherfuckers that are as big as he is. Because I mean, he just absolutely dominated them in every single way that you can. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is necessarily a problem for the Jazz, but Joel Embiid certainly was a problem.
Yeah. Inside, outside, it didn't matter. He forced Gobert to the ground a couple times just by driving and just bodying him up. It was really something. And then that last three was just unbelievable. He throws the ball, he's kind of caught off balance, uses the ball to get back up, and then he immediately dribbles out. And the whole time I'm thinking, and I think you're thinking the same thing, is you have time, you should foul him. Don't let him get there. If he wants to take a shot out of the post, fine, right? That's fine. But when you see him dribbling to the three-point line, grab the guy, because he's gonna make it.
I want to talk. Yeah, let's talk about that end of game sequence or end of regulation sequence, because, you know, Boyan had a perfect opportunity to actually foul him. Joel Embiid goes down, and instead of, you know, finishing up the foul, you know, touch the man when he's on the ground, football style, he just stands there like, no, I didn't foul him. No, there is no like no one cares about end of game bravery here.
No,
be smart. Foul the man. And honestly, when the shot went up, I knew it was going in. That's the kind of game that Joel Embiid had. He had 40 points. He was 2 of 5 from 3, 10 of 13 from the line. Absolutely abused them.
Yep.
Getting to the line. 19 rebounds. And 19. That's the part. That's the part that I think should really stand out for Utah. Because you've got Rudy Gobert. You got Derek Favors. You have size that you can combat Joel Embiid with. It just did not matter.
Yep.
It didn't matter at all.
No. Embiid is just, and there's some people like sheepishly trying to get Gobert into the MVP conversation over the last several weeks. And it's just, this was it. This is the death knell for that conversation. He's a really good player. And I don't want this to be just like, oh, disparaging Rudy Gobert, because he is a really good player. Mm-hmm. But the gap between he and Embiid is large.
Yeah, look, Joel Embiid is a tier one guy.
Yes.
He wrapped up first place in MVP for the first half. I think this performance in particular against the Utah Jazz, I mean, and by the way, I'm thinking about the way voters vote when I say this. I'm not saying for me personally. I had him in first. But knowing how voters vote, I think that right now there's probably, maybe there's less than five voters that have anyone but Joel Embiid in first place. And it's probably LeBron who they've got. And maybe it should be Jokic in that first spot. But it's pretty clear to me that Joel Embiid, far and away right now, MVP of the first half. And he capped it off with just a brilliant performance. I do want to get into, you know, that the end of game execution for Utah. Again, they miss that foul. They get a rough call on the out-of-bounds call. The call itself, Andrew, was right. And I get it, because in the moment, I didn't see that it hit the referee. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, what an amazing play. It still was an amazing play, but it did hit the ref. I mean, and you see it when you know what you're looking at, you can see it on the replay. And so I think that feeling a little bit, screwed over by the refs on that one, I don't feel bad for you. Like, the refs got it right.
Yeah, they got it right. And the whole being screwed over by the refs stuff is, everybody is going to get quote unquote screwed over by the refs just because these are human beings. These aren't robots that are like programmed to make the right call every time. And it's just excuses. I mean, does anybody get super pumped up when your team loses and then they blame the refs? Like, come on.
Right.
Like, let's take responsibility and just move on. Like, don't blame it on somebody else. There are some blatant things that happened, but last night didn't feel like that to me.
Well, so Donovan Mitchell has a really great game. And thanks to Dan Clayton for these stats on Twitter. He then finished the game 0 for 10 with two turnovers, two free throw points, an assist for a three. And then he gave the Sixers 2 points. Yep. In a game that they still could have won. And so, mm-hmm. Look, the execution was great to a certain point, and then it fell apart at the end of the game. This is not the first time Utah's had trouble down the stretch. This is not the first time that a really good defensive team has put something on them. I mean, we saw the Clippers and what they were able to do. Mm-hmm. And this also isn't necessarily an indictment on the Utah Jazz or a bad loss. Philly is really good.
It's a good team to lose in overtime to a really good team is okay.
And in, you know, in their defense, I thought Utah looked exhausted for the entire game. It's the fourth game of a long road trip. They're looking ahead to the All-Star break. This is a team that has actually had really good health luck, which means these guys have all been playing these games. There hasn't been a lot of downtime and a lot of rest, and they look like they had tired legs to me down the stretch. And so, you know, instead of, you know, looking for other people to blame, maybe just look internally a little bit and also give credit where it's due. Philly won that game.
Yeah. Tobias Harris is a guy that he took over overtime. He finished with 22-10. He was great. And I feel like he almost gets powers off of no one talking about him.
Yes.
Because like nobody talks about him. It's all about Ben Simmons. And it's still about Ben Simmons' offense. And people are obsessive about that when they really should be more obsessive about what a great defender he is. And then it's Joel Embiid. And that's it. And then it's about, what did Daryl Morey do to shape this team? And he's like so far down. But he has been so good and consistent for them this season. I mean, he's one of the reasons that they are 24-12 right now.
And one of the great things that I saw in overtime, the two-man game with Tobias and Embiid, but with no passing. And it's Tobias and Embiid communicating, you know, nonverbal communication on the offensive end, Embiid using his own gravity and the threat of him shooting the three. I mean, in a game like this where he's on fire, they have to guard him. And he pulls Gobert away from the paint enough that Tobias Harris is able to go to work. And that's something that we haven't seen out of these two. And this is that Doc Rivers effect where he's getting guys to lean into the things that they're great at. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ben Simmons, you're not a 3-point shooter. Well, he's shot a few threes this year because he's got no pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, go out and be great at the things that you're great at. Now, I still think Philly should shoot more threes because this game likely isn't close if they actually, you know, get up a good amount of threes. But
yep.
I really love how they executed down the stretch and in overtime. The ability to turn the defense up to the level that they're able to with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I don't know that any other team has a combination like that because Brooke Lopez has dropped off.
Oh,
and yeah, and Giannis can't do it alone.
Yep.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, that's the best defensive duo in the league by far.
Yeah, no doubt. Then you have supporting guys like your guy Danny Green out there as well. It's just a smart player that just knows where to be. He's not playing great basketball, but he's just not going to make a ton of mistakes. And that is when you're talking about a high level team, having as many guys on your team that just are not going to make mistakes is so crucial. And they've got those guys.
Yeah, you got to have adults on the basketball court. Okay, so this game and the aftermath, of course, nobody was happy. Donovan Mitchell had these comments after the game.
First of all, I've got to, you know, give 76ers credit. They played a hard game. You know, Joel does what he does. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're a good team. We competed. But it's tough, KK. Like, it's tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete. And to have a game like that taken from us, and I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't like, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know, like we won this game, in my personal opinion, you know. But like I said, I'm gonna give them credit. They won, whatever, cool. But like, this is it's a consistent thing. And you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for, but like, I'm sick of it, to be honest with you. We all are, you know. And I think this is something that just it eats me. It eats at me, man. And it's I don't y'all know what it is. We all know what it is, but it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand. And the league needs to do something about this, because I want to see the last 2-minute report. I want to see it, but it's getting out of hand.
Okay. So it begs the question, and this is the Daily Ding question of the day. Andrew, are the refs respecting the Jazz enough? I mean, is this a real thing?
This is what this is to me, is this is Donovan just setting up the excuses for if things don't go well in the playoffs, we can just rest back on, of course, we were screwed over by the refs. No, I think that they are. I think that you could go through every single team in every single call and find that everybody has bad moments, right? I mean, that's just a part of the game. That's a part of this. And maybe Mitchell's feeling himself a little bit. Maybe now that he's a star, he feels like he deserves some of the respect. Maybe he needs to keep digging in, because I mean, this is something that Chris Paul does all the time, is that he digs in on the refs. He's in their ear. I mean, it was blatant last year whenever he told them about the jersey tuck. So maybe this is just a little bit of that. Maybe he's like, okay, it's my time. Look where I'm at in the pecking order of the NBA stars. So maybe this is him feeling himself a little bit. But to say that this is a Utah Jazz NBA problem, I think is a little bit too far.
Okay, I've got some numbers on this. And by the way, these numbers don't necessarily mean that the Jazz are being treated fairly, but I do think they paint that picture. They've had the 8th fewest personal fouls called against them in the league. They are 16th in team free throw attempts, but it's pretty close per game. The 6th fewest opponent free throw attempts per game, so they're not getting a ton of fouls called on them. And I will say the 23rd fewest per game opponent personal fouls at, like, you know, 18.9 a game. But for context, if they were at 19.9, they would be 13th. So, you know, the margins here are not very large. And it paints a picture of fairness. Listen, man, referees will miss stuff. But my argument is that they didn't really miss anything. Was there some physical play that was allowed? Certainly. But Utah benefits from that as well.
Sure.
And Donovan Mitchell shoots that corner three and catches Seth Curry with his hip while Seth Curry's in the air, and they get a three-shot foul on that. So it seemed to me like it went back and forth. And let's not forget, last season, Utah benefited more than any other team from missed calls that were on the last 2-minute report. Sure. So certainly, the refs respect the Jazz.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Warriors, Blazers, and look, I don't know what it is about Portland, but Steph Curry takes, I don't know, every time he goes there, it's like he feels disrespected by the city, by Damian Lillard. I don't know what, but it didn't matter, because Damian Lillard did Damian Lillard stuff. He hits a big three to put them up 108-106, and that was the ball game. Right? That was it. We're not going to talk about what happened after that because to me, it was atrocious.
Yeah.
Listen, a great play by Dame to draw a charge.
Yeah.
But the charge is the worst play in basketball. It's almost as bad as the Euro foul, but it's more dangerous, so it's worse. And that play in particular, Draymond's in the air as Dame is sliding over. And I'm not going to sit here and argue whether it was a block or a charge. I'm going to argue that is not how you play basketball. And I know that that's how we've all done it our whole life. And if you're not able to play defense, you can draw charges. That's great. But we should not be rewarding that, in particular, in crunch time of what was a very cool game.
Yes.
Am I wrong here?
Yes, you're not wrong. I think it was a disappointing ending because I would have loved to see Draymond be able to finish that and just see where the game goes, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe he misses the free throw, you know, and then what happens? I mean, he hadn't taken a free throw the whole game. That would have been his first.
He hit a three, so maybe it would have been a good shooting night. My thing is, I have no problem with the charge call if Dame is making a play. Right?
Sure.
It's the sliding under that is the problem. If Dame meets him at the rim, verticality, and gets there in time, fine. Please call the charge. But we have got to stop letting guys come in from out of the play, making a non-basketball play. There is no other time in the sport where you are rewarded for just getting in the way and standing still.
Yeah. And to be clear, you're saying that this is a league problem, not a Dame problem.
Oh, because not a this was no. That's this great was absolute, play by Dame.
Yeah, this was absolutely Dame time to the extreme.
100%.
With the three bomb and then getting in position to end the game effectively with that defensive play. It was, that's the epitome of Dame time on both ends.
Yeah, absolutely. Total clutch play by Dame, willingness to put his body on the line. Like, there are a lot of good things about that play. You play the game.
The rule right? sucks. Like, the yeah, rule the rule sucks. Sucks. Yeah.
But you play the game. And it's sort of like the foul hunting. I'm not going to get mad at Trae Young for foul hunting when he's rewarded for it. Same with this charge. But with that being said, I thought there were a lot of really good signs for the Warriors. The Blazers have been playing pretty good basketball. The Warriors looked really good. Obviously, Steph Curry, 35 points, just, doing the thing he does. Draymond looked great. They didn't have Kelly Oubre. And I have to think, if you're the Warriors, you look at that performance against a pretty good team, or at least a team that's playing pretty well, and you feel like you're probably a playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The only problem is, this is just a funny problem for the Warriors, is that they just have trouble scoring the basketball outside of Steph Curry, especially in the final minutes of the game. There's just no question who should have the ball and who's going to be making the shots, and it's going to be Steph Curry. And then who else on this team do you trust? They need a scoring punch from somebody, and they're not really getting it from Andrew Wiggins. Big surprise. They're not getting it from Kent Bazemore. They just don't have anybody. And I think that I think a lot of people are pointing fingers at James Wiseman, or Weissman, I think is how you're supposed to say it, but whatever. He comes off the bench and only playing 11 minutes per game. And I think it's kind of a problem. You spend this really high draft pick, and yes, he's super young and deserves a lot of room to grow. But still, I think that the way that he started the season and where he's ended up is he's regressed quite a bit as the season's gone on. Some of that's injury, but the dude won't shoot threes anymore. And they kind of need him. They kind of need him to step up and to fill some of this void because they just don't have enough scoring.
And you can see the dynamic pick and roll partner in him. When he's running pick and rolls with Steph Curry, you can see that pop. His athleticism. We know Steph Curry is going to draw the defense. Wiseman has been able to take advantage of that. I would probably start Wiseman, and I would try to get him involved early in pick and roll actions with Steph Curry. It's a double-edged sword there. You get Steph Curry rolling early, and maybe you get Wiseman some confidence and get him rolling early. Young players, man, it's so important. The way you start is so important. And I just think that the Warriors haven't had to think about this. during this entire run. How do we get this high level young player started in the right direction early on in the game so we can make more of these games good versus just learning experiences? Learning experiences are great, but this is a team that wants to make the playoffs, I do believe. And I think they want Wiseman to be good. And you can do both of those, but it takes a commitment to Wiseman. Now, on the other side, Portland, man, listen, Damian Lillard is going to be in on the MVP ladder somewhere for you. He has to be.
Sure.
He's been putting up crazy numbers, but also winning games without the second and third best player on his team. And when you look at the roster, I mean, listen, man, Carmelo Anthony scored 22 points. Like, they're relying on Carmelo Anthony.
He's been balling lately too. And I've been a critic of Melo this season, but he's been balling lately.
So the degree of difficulty in what Damian Lillard is doing, I think is getting lost in a lot of the discussions. You know, we talk about Jokic and how he stepped his game up. Obviously they lost Jeremy Grant and you know, Torrey Craig, who not going to help you much offensively, but helps you defensively. And we're seeing Jokic step his game up and get a lot of credit for it. But I think Damian Lillard doesn't get enough credit for not having to step his game up. His game is just already elevated so much. He's stepping up in the other ways, the playmaking, playing better defense than he's probably played in maybe his career. And doing just about anything that needs to get done. He didn't have a great game here.
Right.
22 points.
Yeah, he didn't shoot the ball well. And I mean, the most impressive thing to me is that he's got the Blazers at fifth in the West. I mean, when CJ McCollum went down, I thought it was, okay, well, we'll see the Blazers next season. Because this roster just doesn't have what it takes. You can't lose Nurkic and McCollum and then just be a playoff team. But they're there. I mean, they're ahead of the Nuggets right now in the standings. They're ahead of the Mavericks. Both teams that I think people would have said would have been ahead of them, even if they were healthy. So huge credit to the Blazers. And a lot of it is continuity and the coaching staff and with Damian Lillard. And that stuff matters. And I think there's a comfort level there. But yes, he deserves to be at least seated at the table with the other MVPs. I don't think that he should win it, but he deserves some sort of recognition.
Yesterday, the league announced the contestants, the participants. They're not even participating because there's
I was going
to
say, they're not participating in anything.
They named the teams, the Rising Star teams, and they did it via Top Shot package opening. And anyway, people were mad about it because the NBA announced something and everyone has to feel disrespected or slighted. Emmanuel quickly not on the list of guys not appearing in the Rising Star game. Listen, guys, before we do this little bit, we're going to draft these teams on our own and hopefully do a better job. But before we get to that, I just got to say, not everything's a snub. Like, come on. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant were not in the Rising Star game.
That's right. Now, it didn't exist then, but still, they weren't in it.
Yeah. So who cares, right? Like, let's be real.
And this is as fictional as it would have been in the 80s.
Exactly.
Because it's not happening.
Exactly. So in that spirit, we want to draft our own rosters and see who does better just from the given pool. So the USA team and the world team. And Andrew, I'm going to allow you to have the number one pick because I really want to put you in a position here. I'm pretty sure you're going to take Dort. I don't think you can control yourself here. And I think that this is going to work to my advantage.
Yeah, I very much love Lou Dort and everything he brings to the table. But with that being said, I got to take Zion Williamson. He's just been such a monster. If he gets ahead of steam, he's just going to score. And there's nothing you can do about it. So I got Zion, number one.
Yeah, and I'm going to take Ja Morant because I'm no dummy. And Ja Morant is a star. So I got Ja Morant.
LaMelo, easy. I freaking love LaMelo Ball. That guy is so good. And we're going to talk about him on Saturday, Saturday Slam and Jam show for a good bit because he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's awesome. I'm going to take Tyrese Haliburton because we just talked about adult basketball players. And it's pretty cool when a guy can come in as a rookie. and just he's ready to go.
Part of the reason that we're doing this is because I'm looking over at the world team and I'm still like, I don't think I'm taking anybody from the world team yet.
Oh, they would get blown out, man. If this was a real game, it would be unfair. And, you know, we would probably get a letter from FIBA because yeah. It's so embarrassing.
Right.
The U.S. team would beat them by 100 points.
They would, without a doubt. I'm taking DeAndre Hunter.
Okay.
With my third pick.
Not bad.
He's a guy that he can do a little bit of everything. He's a solid defender. He's had a great year when he's been healthy. I'm a huge DeAndre Hunter guy.
Yeah, not bad. I'm going to take Anthony Edwards and on vibes only, right? Like, we need some good vibes on our team, and I'm taking Anthony Edwards. I want the athleticism. I want Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards as my guards. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Got a lot of playmaking there when you think about Tyrese Halliburton. My three-guard attack is going to be very, very hard for Zion Williamson to guard in space because we're going to be working to that switch all day long.
You have to. I got a text from my friend Taylor last night. He said, thank God Anthony Edwards can dunk and has a good personality because otherwise he'd get absolutely eaten alive on Twitter every night. Which is, I believe it's so, so true. Okay. Still don't know if I can look at the world team yet. Still don't know because there's still some guys on here. I need some shooting. I'm taking Tyler Hero.
Okay. I'm going to take Michael Porter Jr. Because okay. I need a gunner. I need my 6'10" Klay Thompson.
Also, you're way too likable so far. You got to swing that back in the other direction a little bit with MPJ. Your team is way too likable.
I gotta kill our vibes. That's it. The vibes are gone.
Yeah, you have to. Okay, last one. I really like Keldon Johnson. I think that dude is even underrated. I think that people will probably look at him and say he's a guy that should not be on this team. I think he's great. However, I'm not going to take him. I am going to look over at the world, and there are some really solid players. I'm going to go ahead and lock down Ja Morant with Lu Dort. I have to do it.
Oh, gosh.
I just cannot have Lu Dort on this page.
Is it going to be Zion or Lu Dort?
Dude, who positionless basketball? What are positions? I don't even know what positions are at this point.
I'm going to take James Wiseman just because he's the tallest guy. And being tall in basketball still matters, especially if you've got some skill. So, unfortunately, I didn't take anyone from the world team. No disrespect, but that's a bad world team.
It's rough. Lots of really good role players.
Yeah.
Lots of nice role players. Tao Maledon, shout out.
Yeah.
Michael Mulder, shout out. But yeah, there's not a lot of star potential on that world team. Okay, so to recap, these two teams, Dave has Ja, Halliburton, Edwards, Michael Porter Jr., and James Wiseman. I have Zion, LaMelo, DeAndre Hunter, Tyler Hero, and Lu Dort. We'll put those out there. We'll throw a poll up. Just let us know that my team will just crush Dave's. Just let us know.
Listen, I think what we need, someone sim this in 2K. I don't own the current version of 2K, but if someone wants to hit me up, my DMs are open, guys. If someone wants to sim this in 2K, we will totally talk about this forever. I will hold this over Andrew Schleck's head for the rest of the time that we podcast together because my team whips ass. Let's just plain and simple. My team would kick your team's teeth in.
We'll see about that.
We
play some defense over here, though. Yeah, we. Oh, come on.
It's an all-star game. Who cares about defense? That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. Down to Dunk.
That's mine.
They're too good
to
take.
Listen to it.
Yeah. And the Slam Jam on Saturday. Yeah. We added a new show to the Athletic NBA show feed. I actually think it's the best basketball podcast out there right now. Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you.
Making us all look bad. but it is a very fun show. If you didn't listen last week, go back and listen. It's worth checking out. It's a nice recap on the week. It's almost like a sixth episode of the Daily Ding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought you guys did a really great job, and I love the spinning wheel. We need a physical spinning wheel, though. So somebody get on building that.
We're working
that.
On it. Yes.
There you go. So that's going to do it for today's show. We will catch you guys tomorrow on another episode of The Daily Ding. Mm-hmm.